You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello from Colorado on a somewhat cloudy Saturday. This is the Geneva Basin behind me, and I am standing on the crest of Geneva Mountain. Today, we're going to catch you up on everything that's going on in Ukraine. We've got four big things that have evolved over the last couple of weeks. The first one we've already discussed quite a bit, and that is the Ukrainian offensive through their northern border into Russia proper, into the Kursk province, where they've triggered a war of movement with the Russians. Everything that we can tell is that the Ukrainians are taking heavy casualties and the Russians are taking just absolutely astronomical casualties because the Ukrainians have destroyed the bridges across the Sem River. So the Russian forces that are south of the river and north of the Ukrainian border are just getting chopped up without any support, and the Ukrainians are apparently having a pretty good time of it. They've also brought a lot of their longer strike-ranged missiles and mortars and drones very, very close to the border itself, and are launching them to targets up to 100 miles within Russia proper, and are just gutting the logistics infrastructure and everything in the southern and western parts of Kursk province. Basically, the entirety of the northern front of the Ukraine war has now been relocated into Russian territory, so a significant change in battlefield realities there. And if the Ukrainians are able to keep this up, they'll be able to cut the infrastructure between Kursk City and Belgorod City, which is how all Russian forces have been supplying for the northern front. So very significant, has the opportunity to become much more significant in the days and weeks to come. The second big effect is that the Ukrainians have successfully sunk Russia's last rail ferry. Now, for those of you who haven't been watching for a while, the primary means that the Russians have been using to supply their forces in the Crimea Peninsula in the south of Ukraine has been the Kerch Strait Bridge. But after a series of attacks on it over the last 2 years, the cargo function of the bridge has basically been shut off. They can ship personnel in, but no cargo, so no fuel. So they've now been using rail ferries to go from the Black Sea coast of Russia into Crimean-occupied territory. Well, the Ukrainians a few months ago started targeting the rail ferries, and this last week the final one was hit, and it was hit while it was at dock in port, and it sunk in its berth. So even if the Russians had the equipment and the personnel to clear it, and it's unclear that they still do, now you're talking about an operation that would probably take a minimum of a couple of months. And even if they did clear it, they have no more rail ferries and no one will sell them any. So this has basically destroyed the capacity of the Russians to ship fuel to the Crimean front. The third thing involves the city of Proletsk. Proletsk, I'm going to spell it right here. That is a city further inland, Krasnodar Krai, basically a republic, and it's a major fuel depot. 74 of those giant tanks that you see outside of refineries are anywhere in Houston. And so far, the fire that they've triggered because of this attack has been so intense that it's completely destroyed a third of the tanks, and it's spreading to the rest. Once again, even if the Russians had the equipment and the personnel necessary to fight the fire, which they don't, it is, I don't want to call it out of control, but the Russians are barely holding the line, and the Ukrainians have not let up. They've done at least a couple more attacks since then, and there's a very real possibility that this entire depot, which is by far the biggest and most relevant one to the Crimean front, is not going to be there a couple weeks from now. So not only is the fuel delivery now out of the equation, the fuel storage and the forward positioning seems to be going offline permanently as well. That would likely open up a huge opportunity for the Ukrainians to press up the Crimean front, because if the Russian soldiers in Crimea can't get fuel or reinforcements or ammunition in order to put it back, But that brings us to the fourth problem, which is absolutely not going the Ukrainians' way. And that is the Russian assault on the Ukrainian city of Pokrovsk. Pokrovsk. Emphasis on the pro. That is in the Donbass, actually not too far from one of the regional capitals. Basically, what's going on here is the Russians have decided that they have to take this city at any cost. They've been throwing literally dozens of meat assaults against Ukrainian forces every single day for the last month. And as the Russians are scrambling to move forces north into Kursk or south towards the Crimea, they have not pulled anything out of Pokrovsk. In fact, now that they can't get fuel to Crimea, there's an argument to be made that the Russians aren't even going to bother trying to defend Crimea in the short term. They're just going to send all engines and forces to Pokrovsk. If Pokrovsk falls, it's a major problem for the Ukrainians because it's a rail nexus where seven lines come together. And if it is taken out, it's not that the Russians, or excuse me, it's not that the Ukrainians can't supply the front of the Donbass, but instead of having a single point where you can concentrate your forces and have a mailed fist to punch back, we'll have to do it from seven different points that require a lot of rerouting. That's not going to be nearly as effective, no matter how much they're severely the Russians and tribulation other areas, because the Ukrainians would leave it up versus about here coming too fast. But Ukrainians have always been trying to make this into an effective. The Russians have always tried to put it as a war of attrition. One of the reasons why the Ukrainians did so well in Kursk is they have managed to begin a war with Kursk. There are no minefields up there, so they're free to maneuver. But if Pokrovsk falls, the Ukrainians are going to be running around just to try to hold the front seven different places and get literally reinforced, which would be a big problem. So, and a lot of decisive things going on here. Kursk is in play. Crimea is in play. If the Ukrainians can find some more reserves to free up, because those are now in Kursk, so it's probably unlikely they can take advantage of this. And then, of course, the Donbass is now in play, so we're probably going to see more changes at the front line in the next month than we have seen in the last couple of years. Very, very, very dynamic situation. Very ugly player. Who actually has the upper hand here because we have three different commanders in place. By the way, he's out of the